Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
It doesn't get any more American than religious freedom, that topic. It's more American than apple pie and hot dogs.
The whole sexual revolution requires so much propaganda. They require propaganda because what they are advocating is not sustainable naturally.
The writers and the producers of contemporary Christian music are not ashamed of their mysticism. They are mystics. They're proud of it. They're not trying to hide it. If you said, hey, that song is mystical, they'd say, thank you.
And I think the Ascension shows us very clearly that heaven is our final destiny, but that heaven is already here among us because Christ is among us, and he will never leave us or forsake us.
Swedish Lutheran lawyers love Issues Etc. while bike commuting to work in Stockholm, Sweden. Thank you, America, for supporting Europe in this very hard time.
We had the privilege this last weekend to spend time with more than 500 Issues Etc. listeners at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's amazing how many people would walk up and make a suggestion, a show suggestion, a guest suggestion. When are you going to have this person on again? Loved that show. That's always nice to hear. Another way of communicating with us is via email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 20th. It's time to do listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll teach a Sunday school lesson on Moses and the plagues in Exodus chapter 7 with Pastor Tom Baker.
No surprise, most of the email is in regards to last weekend's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Here are just a few. Lynette and Brian. Wow, what a great conference. Everything was so organized. Nice lodging, facilities easily accessed. Food was delicious. Do everything the same for next year! Exclamation point. Brian and I were truly blessed to attend this year's conference. Please pass along our rave reviews to Todd and Jeff. Thanks for attending, and thanks for the feedback, Lynette and Brian.
Yeah, we had a lot of positive feedback. Did we get any like major complaints at all?
No.
Usually the complaints surround, I think, three areas. One would be can't hear. I think we might have actually solved that problem. We didn't solve it. I believe that the team up there at Concordia University Chicago solved it for us, and I didn't hear anybody say I can't hear.
I did hear people say they had problems hearing people with hearing aids in the past, and they heard just fine this year, including Will Wheaton, but he does have hearing aids.
People have also complained about the food, but that's usually not at the conference since we've moved up to Chicago. That was when we tried to feed them Emo's Pizza one year, and that kind of went over pretty poorly. And then they also will complain that we don't give everyone enough time between breaks. And I think we also might have solved that problem by going from six speakers to five speakers. And it really, really opened up the schedule a lot. It made it much easier. We still got behind on Friday, which we always do, but it made it much easier for people to come and go.
I mean, Saturday we got behind.
Saturday, that's right. Friday we're not behind.
No, it's a work in progress. And first of all, if it was organized, it has everything to do with Deaconess Lynette Fredrickson, who works here for us, and Mary Caesar, who works at Concordia University Chicago.
Absolutely. And then the technical aspects of it were accomplished entirely by Jim Kaczynski and what's Rob's last name again?
Glinke, Rob Glinke.
Rob Glinke, and then the group of people that work with them, and they made it happen. We walked in. It was ready. We had one technical difficulty connecting, before the live broadcast, connecting our little unit to their PA. And once Rob showed up, it was solved within 2 minutes. So it was really good.
We had, according to Lynn, we had 550 plus paid attendees, and there wasn't a lot of room there.
No. They say that they can fit 700 people in there.
We say 500. You're asking a lot. because this isn't sitting at a 90-minute choral concert.
No, this is sitting for a whole evening and then an entire day the next day. Not continuously, but more or less sitting in the same place. And so you do need to be able to have a little elbow room.
Here's another email about the 2023 issues, et cetera, making the case conference. Joe writes, "Hi, Jeff. I had another wonderful time at the conference. As usual, you put together such an outstanding program. I'm a longtime listener, and this was my third consecutive trip. It is the highlight of my year. It's so nice to enjoy the company of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and hear God's word in fellowship with one another. Love the hymn singing, all that you put together. Best to Pastor Wilkin, Pastor Whedon, Lynn, Concordia Chicago, and everyone involved. Jeff, I really enjoyed hearing Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, his lesson on the Hebrew words man and woman and the connection to Yahweh was outstanding. Is it possible for you to share these slides with me?" First of all, before you respond, tell the rest of the listeners about man, woman, Yahweh, the case that he made from Hebrew. And Joe, thanks for the email and thanks for attending the conference.
It was an insight or an observation that he got from a friend of his who was a convert from Judaism to Catholicism and had been a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi. And it really wasn't, I wouldn't call it an interpretive or exegetical point. It's just an interesting thing about the Hebrew text where the letters that the word for man and woman in Hebrew share can be combined to make other words. This is a very Jewish rabbi kind of a thing to do with the Hebrew text. They like to toy around with the letters and see where things match and mismatch. And basically, he made some connections there that I think drove the point home, not so much exegetically, but it rhetorically drove the point home that the what they call the sexual binary, male and female, is integral, not it's not exhaustive of, but it's integral into the image of God. So he made a great point. I think he did it in such a way that people who have no familiarity with the Hebrew language or Hebrew letters probably got it. It was kind of the capstone of his presentation. He told some pretty amazing stories out of school from frontline stories about dealing with the U.S. Speaker of the House at the time, Nancy Pelosi. President of the United States, and then dealing with his own California government during their attempt to kind of shove same-sex marriage down everyone's throats, even before Obergefell.
And COVID lockdowns.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to see what the Archbishop was having to fight a lot of battles on behalf of the Roman Catholics out there.
Archbishop Cordiglione was so nice to send us his PowerPoint presentation, and we've already sent it to a few conference attendees. If you'd like to get that, just send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org. Daniel, Ada, Oklahoma. "Now that we are in the Sundays after Pentecost season, I would appreciate it if you could tag the episodes with the proper number along with the Sunday after Pentecost. I'm an elder at a vacant church, and I use these episodes to help prepare our Bible study on Sunday. When looking for older episodes, I often have to download old liturgical calendars from the LCMS website, and being able to search for episodes by proper number would be helpful. Thanks for listening in Oklahoma, Daniel." First of all, what is a proper?
I don't know. You cannot teach an old dog new tricks. I was brought up on first the one-year lectionary and then post-ordination. It was the three-year lectionary. And the three-year lectionary was fairly easy to navigate, but there's problems that the seasons of the church year, some of them are a set amount of time and some of them are flexible. And they're most of them pegged to the date of Easter, which rolls around the calendar because it's a lunar festival rather than a solar festival. So it's a complicated thing. So they're trying to do a three-year lectionary. And the reason they came up with the proper system was because the various seasons are flexible. So a proper is basically, it's proper one, the window between two dates, between July 10th and July 17th. If the Sunday falls somewhere in there, that's the proper for that Sunday. Don't get Jeff started on the three-year lectionary.
I have no problem with it. I have no problem with the three-year lectionary. It's a complete Christian freedom issue. My only thing is, how did it get through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, given the fact that it was Vatican II and the Roman Catholics who
invented it.
Who invented it, and somehow anything that looks Roman Catholic in 21st century America, verboten. But yet we adopt it in the 20th century electionary that was given to us primarily by Roman Catholics. That's all. That's my only beef.
Well, I think someone explained it to you this week, and I heard someone explaining it to you this week, and it might have been either Pastor Whedon or Pastor Bender. There was this kind of attempt to, even though there was a allergy toward all things Roman Catholic, even at the time, in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there was also this strange desire to have one set of readings for the entire Christian church of global Christianity. And that was the goal. Everyone's going to be reading the same readings on the same Sunday. Well, it never really worked out this way. So, yes, we've started putting the propers on those looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary. We've put the propers on there. It will help if you can navigate the proper system. But my opinion, just my opinion, and again, it's a matter of Christian freedom, the proper system is an attempt to fix something that is not quite fixable. It's an attempt to help people navigate it because the system itself is so confusing. Some might argue that the least confusing is, of course, the one-year lectionary, the historic lectionary. And again, a matter of absolute Christian freedom. What we ought to have is we ought to have a set of readings that guide both the church through the church year and the pastor through his preaching so that we're not left to the caprice of pastors who just preach whatever text they feel like on Sunday morning. And so lectionaries are far superior. They're better or worse, but they're far superior to none at all.
And I think putting the best construction in the three-year lectionary was an attempt to get more of God's word to the people.
Right. And that's a sad admission, and it is a very Roman Catholic thing to do, that we want people to be exposed to the Bible a little bit more because they aren't reading it. And their only exposure to the Bible may be what they hear read on Sunday morning. So, and that's a very Roman Catholic attitude, because if you talk to former Roman Catholics, they will tell you, we never read the Bible. We heard it read, but we never read it ourselves. Again, an attempt to, a well-intentioned attempt to expose more scripture. But like any system, there are pros and cons, and there's the law of unintended consequences that's always in play, and it's never going to turn out perfect. But we'll do our best to help you navigate it by making that change to the website. We'll be right back.
In your town. No faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and He helps me.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Have you heard the rumblings about the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, it's coming up this summer in Milwaukee. In convention, LCMS delegates comprised of both laity and clergy gather for worship, study of God's Word, and to discuss and vote on the business of Synod. For a preview of what's coming up, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, cph.org to subscribe to the magazine, or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait,
wait, hey, Mr. Postman.
Mr. Postman, look and see.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, June the 20th, we're going through the listener comment line, 618-223-8382, and listener email talkback at issuesetc.org. Pastor Tom Baker will join us in about 15 minutes to teach a Sunday school lesson on the plagues in Exodus 7.
Mike writes, who should we support for vice presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Of course, anybody listens to the show know we're on the record for Pastor Matt Harrison to be reelected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I think voting ends today, midnight central, on Tuesday, June 20th, right, for electronic ballot voting for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
That's right, for the first ballot, or first, what could be the first of three ballots. Might be the only ballot. I think it will be the only ballot. That's just my guess. But the vice presidents of Synod, and there are six of them, if I'm not mistaken, a first vice president, who, that's a full-time job. And then the second through sixth, if I'm not mistaken, they are not full-time jobs. Those are positions that parish pastors, seminary professors, whatever it may be, hold part-time, or in, I would say, on a voluntary basis. They have duties, but it's not a full-time job. So first through sixth vice presidents are selected in a different way. The president of Synod under current system is selected before the synodical convention by a nomination system that takes place online and an election system that takes place online. That's been going for the last 3 days. And the vice presidents are elected at the convention from a slate that is picked by the president of Synod from nominations, and he has to, I can't remember what the proportion is, he has to pick a certain number from the top 10 and a certain number from the numbers below that, but he essentially gets to assemble that slate, and then they stand for election. And the convention, in day one or day two, I don't know how they do elections nowadays there, in day one or day two, they elect those vice presidents. And that is done by convention delegates coming up in, what, about a month or so?
Five to six weeks.
Yeah.
Last week, in a couple days of July and early August. And if you go to issuesetc.org/2023nominations, you'll find candidates for vice president, first vice president, Pastor Peter Lang, vice president East Southeast, Pastor Christopher Eskett, Vice President of the Central Region, my own pastor, Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Hamel, Illinois, Vice President of the Great Lakes Region, Dr. John Woolraby, and Vice President of Great Plains, Pastor Nabil Noor, and Vice President of the West, Southwest, Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Scott Murray. You'll find all those VP candidates at issuesetc.org/2023nominations.
But election season is always interesting. I'll kind of issue my standard opinion on politics of the church, and that is, it's a good thing. If it's done honestly and with transparency, it's a good thing. Politics is nothing more than groups of people making decisions together. It can happen a number of different ways. We happen to have a voting system, largely, in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. And when the next time you hear your pastor saying that he doesn't like politics in the church, then say, don't vote.
Or change our church governance.
Yeah.
Let's be an episcopate form of...
where nobody gets a say except the man who is appointed.
You're
bishop.
Certainly welcome to do that as well.
Yeah, you can do that. And that's fine. That's fine. That's, again, within the realm of Christian freedom. But politics in the church is fine. People object to, because I have for the last, what now, 15 years or so, every time the synodical convention has rolled around, I have openly, transparently endorsed Matt Harrison as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I've done it. And
we've thrown lots of our resources behind that effort.
Yes, we have. And we have used our contacts. We have used the megaphone that we have to promote that. And we will occasionally hear from a listener who says that you shouldn't sully the show by, I think someone said electioneering. Someone recently wrote and said, this smacks of electioneering. And I said, that's because it is. It's electioneering. I have no moral problem whatsoever with saying, I think this is the best person for the job, and I would like to see you vote for that person. You are free to ignore me. You are free to say, no, I'm going to vote for someone else. And I don't think there's a problem with that. It doesn't violate anything whatsoever. And someone says, well, it doesn't leave room for the Holy Spirit to guide the church. Well, then if that's the case, then let's let the Holy Spirit pick the president of Synod. Now, how do you propose we do that?
Well, I think we just put everybody on the called roster, kind of like Barnabas. Now, who's proposing this? Everybody? And we just have a lottery pick.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
Nobody's proposing
that. We put
that.
Every name in a basket and we pull it out. And we say, there we go. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. It's Pastor John Doe from Wheatfield, Iowa.
No,
gets to be synodical.
What was the one thing where you suggested moving the headquarters? Was this Nebraska or what was?
No, South Dakota. Yeah, you got to go farther away than that. Yeah. I suggested it goes to Woonsocket, South Dakota, a real town.
A pastor. That's what we need.
A Woonsocket. Move the synodical headquarters to Woonsocket, South Dakota.
But that pastor needs to be president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod.
Maybe. I mean, he could be.
Well, he's picked by the lottery.
Right, by the lottery. So this whole notion that somehow the Holy Spirit is guiding, the Holy Spirit works only through his word, and there's nothing in the Bible that says who should be president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So guess what? That's where we in our Christian freedom get to make that decision. If we do it honestly and transparently, then we need not worry that we are somehow dirtying our hands with politics.
Well, any system's going to be tainted with our sin.
Absolutely. I'm not saying it's done without sin, but I'm just saying we are in the realm of Christian freedom. If you can show me a Bible passage where the Holy Spirit says who should be the next man, then I will happily say let's go to the Holy Spirit system. But that also means we need to get rid of synodical conventions because we can't be voting on anything. We just need to take every issue, put it in the big, we have one down in Waterloo for our Queen of Hearts raffle, into the big drum, put every issue in there, roll it around for a little bit, and then let Minnie Schmidt from some random congregation reach her arm down in there and grab it out and say, this is the decision.
Hey, here's a great question. Show suggestion from Brenda. I think it would be helpful to have a talk on how to be a light in a dark place. There are Christians working at Target, in libraries and other workplaces that are feeling more and more pressure to conform. It is tempting to leave and go to another place of work, but then it seems like we are giving up the fight. Should we stay, and how do we witness when state law is against us? I think it's also good for listeners to know that there are Christians in all of these workplaces that are attempting to live in faith under very complicated circumstances. Thanks for the show suggestion, and thanks for listening, Brenda.
That really is the burning question of the day. And I think several of our speakers at the Making the Case conference addressed this to one degree or another. I remember the Archbishop addressing it, saying this is not a new problem for Christians finding themselves in the quote-unquote hostile workplace. Should they quit and find a job that's more amenable to their beliefs, or should they stay and be hopefully not silent but a voice for the truth? And this is the constant question of Christian vocation. Few of us have a vocation. I have a vocation where I am never pressured by my employer whatsoever to undergo any kind of struggle session or training. But the vast majority of people are working in a system that at least now is putting those pressures on them. And that is a matter of individual conscience. There really is no handbook for how long do you stick it out. I know that what happens, though, and I think what those who are engineering all of this at the corporate level want to happen, is they want to drive Christians out of the system completely. They want that
to
happen.
No, I think they want silence. They need hard workers.
They want
people to show up on time.
They want Christians to abandon their posts, either by leaving the workplace and getting out of their hair, or remaining silent and just basically passing as pagans. That's what they want. So it's not a new problem. There is no handbook for how to handle it. It really is a matter of individual conscience. You cannot lie. You cannot throw your little pinch of incense for Caesar and say, well, I got my hands crossed behind my back. There is a line where one must simply say, I cannot do this. I have to resist this. And sad to say that in a lot of the systems, that could mean you lose your job.
I'd like for our listeners to send us a suggestion on whom we should interview, who we should interview for a topic like this. Send an email to talkback@issuesetc.org or call the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. A light in dark places dealing with Christians and their vocations.
And what to do in a practical sense when they're faced with these workplace dilemmas, challenges, and temptations to compromise the truth. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on Moses and the plagues in Exodus chapter 7. We'll be right back. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Take Courage, Encouraging Words for Discouraging Times. This new resource reminds discouraged Christians of the one thing right in the world, the person who alone has overcome the world. Find out more about Take Courage at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Take Courage by Pastor Matt Harrison, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Memoria Press is a family-run publisher of classical Christian education materials for homeschools and private schools. Every page of the Memoria Press curriculum leads students to a mastery of content, an understanding of the classical heritage of the Christian West, and an appreciation of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.